Oh, what a joy that is to acknowledge that we are one in the fellowship of Jesus and share together in that blessing in these days and unto life everlasting, what we're bound together in this one whose birth we continue to celebrate, the birth of Jesus, the Father's Son, the one who gives us the Holy Spirit, all three bound together in the Godhead who is our saving God. To celebrate that among each other today, let's turn to the word of the Lord. There's an outline on the back table. If you want to fill in some blanks and take some notes today, you'll find that the bold, underlined, italicized words on the screen go in the blanks. If you want to, please go, feel free to get up and get one of those. So, as we continue in the Christmas celebration, you know how this goes, right? As the days unfold, the questions arise. Hey, how was your Christmas, right? And we recount those great memories that were made, new memories that were made, where maybe we've traveled and visited friends. We've still got people who are gone and traveling. We've got some of you back now from your travels, and we get to ask, how was your Christmas? What'd you do? What all did you celebrate? But what's the next question that comes after that? Especially in your youth, the question was, what'd you get, right? Yeah. How was your Christmas? What'd you get? What did we get? Is Christmas all about getting? Or is there something more and deeper there that as God's people focus us not on this life, but on the blessing of having a relationship with our Heavenly Father? We hear of four people today, actually five. One of them's God-man, it's Jesus, so he's divine. But the other four are Mary and Joseph, we hear of Simeon, and we hear of Anna today in the gospel reading. Let's use them to help us understand, how was our Christmas? What did we get? How would we answer those questions? Let's start with Mary and Joseph. If you were to ask them, Mary and Joseph, how was your Christmas? They'd look at you cross-eyed and say, Christmas? What's that? There was no such thing as Christmas back then, right? This was the beginning of the celebration of Christ's birth. They would answer that question in ways that we don't even, they would answer that question in ways that they couldn't even think of like we would answer it today. As they go to the temple with their son, Jesus, to do what the law required, we pick it up in verse 22 and we hear, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord Almighty. How was your Christmas? What'd you get, Mary and Joseph? How might they answer that? Well, they might answer it this way. I got everything we hoped for. God fulfilled his promise in giving us his one and only son. And he's here now. And everything that we hoped for in these months of waiting, in trusting of the Lord, in stepping out in faithful obedience, everything we hoped for is now here. And we're stepping out in continued obedience to fulfill what the law has required. Is that what your response would have been to the question, how was your Christmas? What'd you get? Everything I hoped for? Maybe. But probably not. Maybe our answer would be nothing that I expected. Nothing that I expected. Oh, sickness crept in. Oh, this relationship didn't go so well. There were things that happened that were totally, I was totally unprepared for, and I responded in ways that, boy, if I could have those moments back, I'd like to respond differently. Nothing. What I expected might be our answer. There's another, Simeon, that we can take a cue from. Simeon, who was waiting in the temple courts. We pick it up again in verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And he was told that he would not die before he had seen the Lord God Almighty's Messiah. When the parents brought in the child Jesus, Simeon took him in his arms and praised the Lord Almighty. Simeon, how about you answer that question? How was your Christmas, that first experience of the celebration of the birth of Jesus? What'd you get? Well, I think Simeon might answer that question by saying, my Christmas was wonderful, for my waiting is over. Lord, let your servant now depart in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. Wow. What about for you? Was your Christmas wonderful? Maybe it was wonderfully stressful. I was talking with somebody the other day about the whole excitement and joy of preparing for the birth of Jesus and family coming and all of the celebration that it entails. And it's here and it's gone, done so quickly. And there's this incredible letdown, it feels like, after the celebration of Christmas. Maybe that's what's stressful, is that now we're waiting for what's next. Well, there's Anna. What about Anna? How would Anna have answered that question? How was your Christmas, Anna, this first time in meeting the Messiah? Did you get what you were hoping for? We pick it up in verse 36 with Anna. There was a prophet, Anna. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. She gave thanks to God Almighty and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna, what was that like? Maybe she said, disappointing. Really? Well, I didn't get to hold the baby Jesus. It's not mentioned at all in Scripture that she got to hold Jesus. Simeon seems hog the child the whole time. So maybe she was disappointed, but not really. Because ultimately she would answer that question, it was complete. My celebration of the coming of the Messiah was complete. Because here is the promised one of the Lord Almighty, bringing redemption to Jerusalem. Was your Christmas disappointing? Some of us might say, completely. Maybe Christmas isn't about the questions, how was it? And maybe it's not about, what did you get? After all, the celebration of Christmas is the work of God Almighty among us as his people through the two that he chose, Joseph and Mary, and others who experienced that first Christmas celebration, the coming of the promise, the fulfillment of the Lord's God's word, Simeon and Anna. And you and me, we fit in there as well. Christmas isn't about those questions that we like to ask. They're simple questions that help give context. But Christmas is about the Lord God's gift to us in Jesus, in the fulfillment of his promises, and the one who binds us together as the bride of himself, his own community, that brings to us then the hope and joy of salvation, forgiveness, compassion that defines us differently from the world. What did we get for Christmas? Anna and Simeon and Mary and Joseph help us redefine not only that question, but what this celebration going now into a new year is about. As God's people, let's take a look at what we received in this great blessing and gift from the Lord Almighty. Consolation and redemption. Wow. Anna gives voice for us then, because she speaks about Jesus' purpose, the redemption of Jerusalem. When Anna speaks specifically and shares those words by the Spirit, and Luke would record them for us, Anna is getting personal. Talking about Jerusalem is a very personal kind of one-on-one definition, that what we receive is redemption individually. Jerusalem, it starts here in this specific place with these specific people by God's specific plan of salvation. And that redemption is the Savior who brings us out from some place and into another place, paying the price to redeem us, And where he takes us from is that sinful, disappointing, cursed life that we have outside of the Lord God. When I haven't acted the way that I wanted to, and I've said things I shouldn't have, and I'm defining Christmas by my own terms as disappointing or not fulfilling at all. To be forgiven of that where I find myself stuck in my selfishness, I've been redeemed, Jerusalem. We, each one of us, have been bought out of that judgment of sin and into the kingdom of our Savior Jesus. And Simeon gives then a larger, broader voice for us in this celebration. Simeon gives voice to the child's presence. If Jesus' purpose is to redeem us, then his presence is the consolation of Israel, God's people. Not just the Old Testament covenant, but we who are in Christ Jesus share in those Old Testament covenant promises fulfilled. And we are the sharing of that consolation in the Messiah, bringing comfort because he has fulfilled God's promises. The rabbis talked about the Messiah who would come as the one who would bring comfort, peace, consolation. And that's all that Simeon is responding in these thoughts. Here is the one who gives us peace. Peace with our Heavenly Father, as we have been redeemed by the Son. And peace with one another as God's people, that we might share in the consolation then of what we have and know in Jesus Christ, an everlasting life. So, how was your Christmas? And what did you get? Consolation. Redemption. That's what we received. And how was it? Oh, couldn't have been any better. Because Christmas isn't about me. It's about the saving God's work in my life and our life together. And how can it be any more but perfect in the one and only gift of his Son, Jesus? So we continue in the Christmas celebration, which was given for me and you. In that answer, it was unexpected. How was your Christmas? Well, it was unexpected. And it was unexpected because I got just what I needed. Just what I needed. I'm not talking about a pair of socks, although you need those. I'm talking about what God gave to us in his one and only Son, right? The redemption of our world. What we got was a Savior, Jesus. As Luke would then relate to us in verse 40 and following, this Jesus who grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is, of course, describing Jesus, now this infant child, being taken back to Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph would settle, and he would grow, and he'd become strong as a person, outwardly expressing the growth and the maturity. He would be filled with wisdom, which is a way of saying that he would continue in the process of growing in his Father's ways. It's an ongoing activity here that Luke gives to us. And the grace of God was on him, that he grew in that messianic purpose for which he was given. The next time we'll see Jesus would be 12 years later following this encounter at the temple. And he would be at the temple 12 years later. So all of this time, this is what's happening. Luke is recording for us. The Spirit gives to us insights into the life of Jesus. Friends, as we gather this morning on New Year's Eve, as a new year dawns before us tomorrow, what's 2024 look like for you in the light of the blessing of Christmas and the gift of the child, where it was perfect for us. We got just what we needed. Well, let's look at what it means in Jesus' life for us then, with Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph and Jesus in his Spirit leading this. To grow and to become strong is for us, as our lives mirror and reflect Jesus as he lives in us, is a way of saying that my faith is exercised in the outward expression of obedience. We see this outwardly. Jesus was growing and he was maturing and all of that as an infant to a 12-year-old. The next time we'll see him. And I need to grow and I need to become strong. This is a lot of times where New Year's resolutions creep in, right? We think about, well, I need to make some changes in life. Those are oftentimes human-driven. What about spirit-driven? These are some ways in which Jesus, my life needs to reflect you in 2024 in obedience in some ways that I haven't in the past. I'm redeemed, forgiven of that. Now let me go forward in the joy of being called your brother, your sister, a child of the Father, that I too grow strong, mature in my faith. Mary and Joseph serve as examples for us of obedience, don't they? Well, maybe it's an opportunity for us this year to reflect on those lives, Mary and Joseph, and how our lives might reflect that kind of obedience too. We go into a new year. We hear Jesus was filled with wisdom, that ongoing activity of Jesus growing into this Sophia, these truths of the kingdom. My faith is not yet mature. We can say that. Admit it. I'm still growing in the faith. I learn new things about my faith, about the kingdom, about Jesus every day. And so there are opportunities I need to take advantage of so that maturing wisdom growing process continues in my heart and life. One of the things that I'm going to be doing, I'll share this with you, is that I'm going to be re-engaging in reading the chronological Bible each day. There's 365 readings, days, and this chronological Bible takes me through the scriptures chronologically each day. That's something I want to do this year, that I might continue in my maturing process. Maybe that's an area that you'd like to engage in too, is daily Bible reading or prayer or both, or more regular worship or corporate Bible study, or maybe on the 10th, on Wednesday the 10th, to be a part of our men's and women's groups in study and fellowship. These are opportunities, right, that we have to grow and mature in the wisdom, the truths of the kingdom. And as 24 lays before us, the grace of God was on him, that is Jesus. Well, my faith is grounded on his grace. This free gift of a Savior, the Redeemer and Messiah. And this grace is the foundation of my living then each day. I'm entering into 2024 with a prayer on my heart and from my lips, expressed to the Lord for me and for each one of us as your pastor and as a brother in Christ. And my prayer is such as this: Lord Jesus, may your grace that we are founded on as people, an individual, and as a community, may that grace be known from me and among us to the glory of your name, so that more and more people might see and know Jesus in us. That's my prayer for you, for us, for me, as we go into 2024. So, how was your Christmas? What'd you get? Well, Christmas was unexpected because we got just what we needed. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of these weeks, of these days, of these moments celebrating your gift of your Son. And thank you for allowing us to be with family and friends, and for now these closing days of the holidays to bring us back together again. Thank you, Father, for the joy of being able to welcome Ron and Fran and Dale among us, and to be a part of a community that is founded on your grace, that each one of us then, Lord, knows that grace and it's lived out in the person of Jesus Christ, that all who know us might see him in us, encounter Jesus in us. And so, Father, we simply ask, according to your Spirit your delight, and your will. Lead us in these ways. Lead us into 2024 in these ways. And we'll celebrate and give you thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ, that unexpected gift. Ah, but that's just what we needed. And in your holy and precious name, we'll give you thanks and praise and pray. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And as each one of us has the opportunity to engage in our living faith in Jesus Christ, be blessed now in that faith as we go into 2024. Let me be the first to say to you, Happy New Year! Yes, not just happy, but a blessed, fruitful, faithful New Year in Christ Jesus. Amen.